I want to introduce our guests. We have Mark, as I told you earlier, we have Mark Przeworski, the landscape curator from of Alana, and Galen Joseph Hunter.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
If you're going to share that mic, you got to get up to it.
Hey, guys.
So they're here to tell us all about a historic event soon taking place. Actually, a groundbreaking event soon taking place at the Alana site. For all of you who are unfamiliar, that is, of course, the historic home of Frederick Church, a mile or two south of the city of Hudson. So who wants to start by telling us what is a groundswell? How'd you come up with the name groundswell?
Like all good names, I don't remember who the idea actually came from. It was Mark and I have been working very closely on this event with other staff of Wave Farm, WGXC, and the Alana Partnership. But I think it's an accurate name. I think the Alana grounds will swell with sort of unprecedented activity, and we're pretty excited about it.
Yeah. I think actually you came up with the name, Gabe, if you want to take credit. And
so
it's technically framing the Viewshed groundswell. It's the next in the series we've been doing,
the
Viewshed series.
I see. What was the first?
The first was a symposium we did, which had some elder states people. Lori Olin, a really renowned landscape architect, and someone from the New York Historical Society. The second was a panel discussion here in Hudson about the nuclear power plant episode. Mm-hmm. And this really is new territory for the Honor Partnership. And I think it's really the first of its kind of this sort of thing, probably anywhere, when you put all the ideas and the different performers together around this event. I think it's original.
And this series is under your purview because you are the landscape curator, which is an unusual title, but not considering Frederick Church, because...
What's interesting to me isn't that the Alana Partnership and Alana has a landscape curator, is that it did not have one a few years ago, because the landscape and the concepts behind it are so major and integral to the idea of the entire site. So it's great that one exists right now. I am currently the landscape curator, and this is one of our events.
And the premise is that Church intentionally designed the landscape the way it more or less is.
Yeah, we many people think Alana is the house. The house certainly is exceptional. It's eye-grabbing, and it's really incredibly intact. But the big idea of Alana is the 250 acres designed around its views. And this event will bring people into the landscape, and it will focus on the background element, the views, as well as the landscape itself.
And how will it do that? I mean, what kinds of...
Well, that's where the genius of Galen comes into all of this. And so why don't we...
Well,
she's blushing with modesty.
Wave Farm, formerly called Free 103.9, has about 15, 16-year history of trying to conceive of unusual events that bring audiences into a really participatory environment. And when we moved up to Greene County in 2004, we started doing events outdoors that really asked audiences to move and interact with performance-based work. And so when the conversation with Alana started, this seemed like a really exciting and natural fit. And what we've conceived of together for the Groundswell event is a Sunday afternoon event. We should say the dates and all those details
again. We should
say
them often.
So the event is taking place on Sunday, September 22nd from 2 to 6 p.m. And I will plug this now and plug this later, that more information is at groundswell.brownpapertickets.com. Is that right? You're looking at the poster.
Yep.
thank you for checking me. Audience members will arrive. They'll be given
at 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
At 2 p.m. They will be given a beautifully designed map by our own Cara Tourette. And they will explore Ridge Road, which is a carriage road that originally brought visitors throughout the property and up to the top of the hill where the main house exists. And our hope is that it will cause audiences to spend time and reflect and pause in some of these less traveled spaces.
So along this road, there will be sites with different types of performance.
Exactly.
Will they all involve sound?
Not all of them. A good portion of them will. So, for example, the first performance site or zone is going to feature four text-based scores, which are sound scores by the canonical Pauline Oliveros, who's, I think, certainly in experimental composition world, a national treasure. And she'll be working with several handfuls of participants to do sound-based, environmentally responsive sound works. The next area is going to feature also a sound-based work by the punk rock / art project duo Japanther. They'll be pulling quotations from Church and his contemporaries, and their performance site is set against the view of the city of Hudson. We have Bobby Previtt doing drum solos. We have
who recently performed a recreation of Bitches Brew here at Helsinki.
Exactly. That was broadcast,
WGXC, of course. We're everywhere.
Something that's not sound-based, the German artist duo E-Team, who are from the city but also have a house in South Caro in Greene County, are going to be doing an installation called Clouds. And this is a sculptural installation where they're actually using spray foam to place artificial clouds highly suspended between trees. We're interested in making sure the audiences turn their view up as well as out. They're sort of playing with the idea of Church's instinct to improve everything around him, including nature. Is that a fair assessment?
And many of these artists have really done some research and are responding specifically to some concept that they've picked up at Ohana, be it something about Church, something about the particular view, about the setting. E-Team in particular did a lot of research. They became interested in Alexander von Humboldt, whom Church followed and is a really big part of the Ohana story. It's sort of unknown by some people. And so we're all kind of looking
for Humboldt was a great encyclopedist, right?
Church did his major work, Heart of the Andes, because of Humboldt. It's a story that not many people realize. There was a portrait of Humboldt hanging at Ohana in Church's day. These things are invisible to people, but E-Team picked up on them. And it'll be interesting to see how this all transforms itself into their work.
Well, let me pick up on what you were saying, Galen, that the E-Team installation responds to their sense that Church and his paintings improved the landscape. So what you're saying, of course, is that it would be incorrect to think of these paintings as any form of strict realism or that all paintings, any work of art, alters its subject matter by definition, you think?
Is the question?
I don't know. Sorry.
I think this is connected to your curatorial skill set. Right.
Sorry.
But, you know, I mean, if you think of Ohana as a 250-acre design, which it is, and one of the inspirations for Church was a parks commissioner in Central Park before he designed most of Ohana. Central Park was created largely through dynamite. Some people know that it looks naturalistic. Ohana's landscape also has some of those ideas behind it. And there are quotes where Church wanted to blast in Niagara Falls to improve the flow of the water. I think that's what E-Team is responding to in part.
They love to approach their work with a sense of humor, too. I mean, one of their better known projects is called 1.1 Acres. I hope I'm not messing that title up, where they purchased 1.1 acres via eBay in the Southwest and then traveled to that site and engaged a local community of people to help them fabricate an airport and then did a video document of it. And you know, I think this is true of the event at large. It's incredibly family friendly. I think there's really easy access points to all of this work. And we imagine lots of different kinds of people traversing Ridge Road.
So what you're saying is there's no nudity. If you follow, if you listen to my show, you know I'm kind of interested in that topic.
There's a possibility there may be, but we're not.
Hello.
Sure. Now that we have your interest.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's a Sunday afternoon. The next zone, if you're traveling Ridge Road in the direction that I've been describing the works, mm-hmm. is this perhaps the most phenomenal picnic area in the entire WGXC listening area, which is this beautiful sort of open meadow that looks out over the Rip Van Winkle Bridge, and you see this you're in Columbia County, but you're looking at gorgeous Greene County. It sort of really makes me happy thinking about WGXC and the two counties together. And this is going to be a setting for frolicking and picnicking, and we've got Red Dot, who's going to be there. Ooh. With drinks.
I heard frolicking.
Yes, frolicking. and the wonderful Another Fork in the Road from Milan will be have food, and there'll be paper cut telephones for kids to play with, and
what is it? Oh, paper cup.
Yeah.
Telephone. Okay.
Like tin can.
Yeah,
like
yeah. That's what I thought you said.
Yeah,
too.
Maybe paper cut.
the interesting
and prisms
thing.
To look. So we're asking people to listen differently and to look differently, which kind of is the marriage of the two organizations here.
And as Gayon was saying, this probably is one of the great picnic spots in the entire this part of the Hudson Valley. And what's kind of crazy is that most people don't know it's there. This event will be a discovery for people on many levels. First of all, just realizing that these roads around Olana give views toward, you can see Vermont. There's a part where you can see Empire State Plaza in Albany if you squint. Wow. You can see all as far as your eye will take you. But this picnic spot in particular is really incredible, and it's going to be the center, the heart of this whole event will be this zone.
So part of the event is just to introduce people who are unfamiliar with Olana, not to Olana, and to load up the space with interesting
a big part of Olana's design is the roads. You are meant to move through it as a series of it's moving pictures, a motion picture.
And that church was responsible for that himself?
Yeah, that was the design. You were supposed to move through it. You would see views, you would go into shadows in a woodland, you would emerge for these great views, and he composed these views. And people, the audience members, will be moving along these roads, and in this case, encountering artists who are responding to the setting.
Now, there's no set method by which they have to progress. People can just come and start, right? It's not like starting times or anything like that. It's not a group event or anything like that.
It's durational from 2 to 5 p.m. on Ridge Road. There's two entrances to Ridge Road.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at me quizzically, but I'll explain while the event goes till 6 in just a moment. Obviously, an installation work is there for the duration, but we have artists who are doing performances that last 3 hours, and audiences we hope will walk past a couple of times.
It's a two-way. The road will be a two-way road. People enter and leave from both ends.
Yeah.
So people will traverse back and forth.
Who have we left out so far?
So next, after the picnic area, is an artist named Nadia Marcin, and she is doing a project called The Last Mohican Arrival and Departure, and this incorporates a two-dimensional digital image where she is sort of recreating an early church painting and doing a performance that emulates sort of the theatricality of the way that church displayed his paintings. I think there's this sort of infamous story of how church was able to get audiences to wrap around a New York City block as they waited anxiously to pay money to see his painting, and how amazing that was. And so a couple of our artists are playing with that idea. And then next on the road is a really beautiful spot that I think goes unnoticed almost all the time, where if you stop and look up, you have this rare vantage point of the half-round porch off the main house, which was Church's painting studio. Yes,
it was the addition of his studio.
And Max Goldfarb, who is on the WGXC Community Council and Wave Farms board, and a good friend of the station, is doing a sound work. And what he's doing is taking the recording of a conversation initiated by David Kermani, who's a Hudson resident. David brought together Archie Rand and also our own Nancy Shaver here in Hudson. And the three of them talked about church and how their own work is in relationship to his, and this idea of expanding our understanding beyond simply a piece of architecture. And I think Anne Lauterbach, from who's a poet, who's at Bard, also spoke with Nancy and Max, and so he's taking these conversations and recordings of these conversations and shaping them into a sound work that imagines sounds from the views, and that's going to be transmitted from the Half Round Porch down to radios, sort of hidden among the path.
And what's interesting about this part for me is that historically or traditionally, those who get to speak about Alana are Hudson River School experts, historians, people who focus on the 19th century. In this case, we're having artists and thinkers who are not, that's not their realm,
mm-hmm.
but they also have opinions and feelings, thoughts about Alana, and they're going to talk about Alana as a work of art. So we're having artists and thinkers talking about Alana, but not confined to the usual period.
So it's a different form of outreach in the sense that it's bringing in mm-hmm. people who not would not normally be part of the church conversation, so to speak.
And there are, it turns out that there are many, many people who respond to Alana, love Alana, care about it, but you would not overtly know it through their work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not obvious that they don't do 19th century landscape paintings, but they really care about Alana. And this is an example of people who feel passionately about it, but aren't normally associated with this sort of work.
Certainly. It's definitely fitting for church, I would think, just because he grabbed from so many different eras mm-hmm. and so many different places all around the world. And yeah. It sounds from when you're up at the top of the house, are you going to be able to see everything going on to a certain degree? Or like how much is going to come together?
Well, the event that we've been talking about so far along Ridge Road, which is actually a fairly long, great road with views in many directions, that's not going to focus on the house at all. But the event, as we will talk about, will culminate very, very close to the house.
Sounds like a cacophony of things going on. It's awesome. Yeah,
there's a lot.
So then next, our audiences will encounter Robin's Childs. And this is a often a duo, but in this case, four artists who work in movement and modern dance, although I think they prefer movement or motion to the term dance. And they're being inspired by an 1852 painting by Church called Figures in a New England Landscape. And their location on Ridge Road is pretty exciting because it's at the top of Bethune Road, or where Bethune Road meets Ridge Road, right, Mark? Do you want to?
It's a carriage road that would. It's a switchback road that would have brought people down to the river from Alana. And it's a road that's largely neglected, but is an important part of the story of Alana's landscape, and they're essentially going to activate it.
So they're going to be doing a three-hour movement-based performance on these kind of three-tiered roads, and visitors will use opera glasses if they choose. I think you'll be able to see them because they're often in terrific costumes as well. And
the reference to the opera glasses is when Church staged his big works in New York, the ads in the newspaper would instruct people to bring opera glasses, to bring binoculars to see Heart of the Andes, for example. So they're doing a riff on that.
And then there's a final or a first, depending on where you enter Ridge Road, artist Greg Fox, who's a Bard grad, but down in the city now. And he is a drummer who's doing a three-hour durational performance. And he'll start by spreading his drum kit out along Ridge Road. And he'll start quite minimally, and then he'll assemble slowly his kit together to end with some really thick, I think, dense material.
So in other words, performers will not be just repeating whatever they do over and over again. Each performer has one lengthy performance, but you're not necessarily meant to stick with that one performer through their entire three-hour performance.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's your choice.
It's your choice.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to go back to the title of the event, Framing the Viewshed, Groundswell. So the viewshed, people understand a viewshed to be the background element, what you see in the distance. The Alana story really includes the viewshed because there's been a huge amount of work to protect the views, which are integral to the design of Alana. So from different spots, we will highlight in our text the St. Lawrence cement battle, the Athens generating plant, the site of the Thomas Cole property, which is now fairly developed and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm. And reminding you, it's on September 22nd and it begins at 2 p.m. And you're going to explain to me why it, the official ending is at 6. Is that because you want people, in other words, if you can't come after 5, most of the performances will be done?
Well, the Ridge Road performance-based works end at 5, but then there will be a mass journeying up to the East Lawn, which is next to the main house, where DJ Spooky, a.k.a. Paul Miller, that subliminal kid, will be doing a performance he's titling Imaginary Landscape Reimagined. And so he's making reference to John Cage's 1939 composition, which was a very early composition using turntables, and was actually originally intended for broadcast. And there are, if you're noticing, there's radio appearing in and out of mm-hmm. these performances. But he'll be working with a vocalist and a violinist and perhaps a cellist. Mm. And actually the entire Groundswell event really comes from a conversation that Alana and DJ Spooky have been having well before I entered the picture. Yes. So
Paul Miller, DJ Spooky, was the first artist in residence at the Metropolitan Museum in New York. His residency just ended. So he sees this as the coda to his residency. He was brought to Alana by the two major American art curators, Betsy Kornhauser and Maury Heckscher. They brought mm-hmm. him up to Alana because of Paul's interest in ice, basically, and churches, the connection with icebergs that church did.
So for more information, you, of course, can go to Groundswell. At brownpapertickets.com, or is there a phone number? Because we're often criticized for only giving internet information and not giving phone
Absolutely.
Information to our Luddite listeners.
There's always a phone number. anyone can call the WGXE studios in Hudson, 518-697-7400, in Acre, 518-622-2598. And is there an Alana number?
Yes, the Alana partnership. The phone number is 518-828-1872.
And tickets are available at all of those locations. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also important to mention that the proceeds from the event benefit.
Both institutions will benefit from that,
yeah.
Which is why we can also say that tickets are only $20 in advance. And I guess at the door, what, $10 more or something like that?
Exactly. So
we can
buy
mention
them
that
in
because,
advance.
Right, this is all the proceeds will be divided between the Alana Partnership and
WGXC.
Us here at WGXC, yeah. And we need the money.
That's right. We can say things with a little more verve when it's WGXC's event. And yes, so we're looking at this as a way to really support the station you're listening to right now.
Right.
This is really the first time anything like this has happened at Alana. I mean, without doubt. So
that's
I
great.
Think this is going to be worthwhile on
I hope it brings in a whole new audience to Alana. You know, the people who are listeners here at WGXE involved with the station. You know, they get here right from Brooklyn. They don't even bother to go up to Alana. It's like, dude.
Well, I mean, but I should put a plug in. The Alana Partnership funded a study in 2009. Alana
really?
Generates $8 million for the local economy. Many people who come to Hudson, shop in Hudson, eat in Hudson.
Take that, Marina Abramovich.
Are being generated from visiting Alana.
So that's interesting to know. In fact, I'll get back to you on that because one of my other personae, I plan on doing a show about the relationship between arts and communities, and do they really bring in money? Do they? Who does it really benefit because of the issue developing here with the MAI?
Mm-hmm. It's worthy of discussion.
Yeah. And I'm interested to see that study, just, mm-hmm. you know, how they prove that figure.
We can show it to you.
Thank you. Okay, well, we want to thank Mark Przeworski, the landscape curator at Alana. And the wonderful, talented, not that he's not, Galen Joseph Hunter, who pretty much, let's just say, founded this radio station.
With a ton of other people,
yes. Including her husband, Tom Rowe. And they run Wave Farm, formerly called Freepoint One.
See, this is why we've retired that name.
Yeah, because I can't remember what the hell it is. But it's where you really began, right? With a
Free 103.9 began in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, of course.
See, it all comes back. But you know, I was up here before Brooklyn. So
that's right. Oh, that's right. And they've given us a lovely introduction to what's going to be an amazing event called Framing the Viewshed Groundswell, September 22nd at 2 p.m. at Alana State Historic Site, which is a couple miles south on 9G, south of Hudson, city of Hudson. And you can get tickets in advance at groundswellbrownpapertickets.com.